You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Do you love the Tabernacle Choir? This year, the choir's music is everywhere you are. Listen to your favorite choir songs and music and the spoken word anytime you want on Alexa by simply enabling the skill.
Alexa, play the Tabernacle Choir.
Now playing the Tabernacle Choir.
You can also download the Tabernacle Choir app, subscribe to the choir on YouTube, listen on Spotify, and have access to all their wonderful music. Happy listening.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hans' favorite band, Outkast. This is the band that you tussled with.
Yeah.
That said they told you to calm down.
Offspring.
Or Offspring, yeah. Sorry, yeah. I meant Offspring.
Yeah. Not a fan of him. It was fun bouncing it, though. It was a fun bouncing that concert. It did get rowdy.
Oh,
and
I
in
bet
the
'90s,
man, they had a the hooks in the kids.
All those kids in the mosh pit with their Doc Martens on.
Oh yeah, pretty fly for a white guy was big.
It was a great song, yeah,
big time. But that guy's a clown.
My 12-year-old loves to sing that song. He
pretty fly for a white guy.
Yeah, and I'm like, we got some bad words in there. I don't even pay attention to this.
If he only knew what you and Lloyd listened to.
All right, BYU wrapping up their spring ball. Utah and Utah State continues on. There's some rough news coming out of the Utah spring ball. We'll get to that coming up in the good, the bad, the ugly. But as we look back on BYU and what transpired and what we learned, are there takeaways? I just it used to be back in the day that a coach would want to name his starter at the end of spring. For a quarterback.
Yeah.
Because then that guy would be placed the mantle. And he'd have all summer to be the guy to be able to organize practices. And players would know they'd have to be like, well, we got to listen to this guy because he's a starter. But now, because of the portal, you need to leave it open a little bit.
Yeah. So, man, I've got so many different thoughts about the BYU quarterback situation. Let's jump into a couple of these, Scotty. Number one, I don't feel like they've got the guy. I don't feel like they've got the Jaren Hall.
Yeah,
the Zach Wilson.
Sure feels that way.
I don't even feel like they've got the Keaton Slovis when Keaton had the hype and pomp when he came in. I don't feel like they've got that.
Yeah, because we all knew Slovis was going to be the guy.
So, this is what I'm resting my cap on. I'm taking off my cap and I'm hanging it on the hopes of Aaron Roderick. That's it. Because I don't think that they've necessarily got the personnel. I don't think they've got the guy. But I do think they've got the quarterback's coach. So can Jake Retzlaff is Riley Nelson reincarnated. That's who he is. It's that same motor and that same belief and that same drive and that same excitement. And Riley was great, and I loved his career. I loved covering him. One of my favorite players to ever cover for BYU. But there were limitations. Limitations in throws and limitations. Although you knew that he could will you to a win in any given game, were you really sure that you were going to go win a conference championship? Were you really sure that you were going to go and win a big-time bowl game? The thing with Riley is he had more time and it felt a little more proven. Now, Jake Retzlaff has come out of the JUCO ranks and he's got himself 4 games started and 4 games lost and he's got some experience. So maybe he's the guy, but I'm hanging all of my hopes and beliefs in BYU's quarterback situation on Aaron Roderick.
Yeah.
Because Aaron got Zach Wilson drafted. Aaron got Jaren Hall drafted. I think Slovis is an undrafted quarterback.
Yeah, I do too. But he'll get some camp looks. He'll have an opportunity to
get a
do
camp.
Some damage.
He's going to get a camp.
I mean, he got invited to the combine, right? Didn't he?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he did.
There's enough interest there from NFL teams to get an invite.
He was one of, I want to say, 13 quarterbacks that went to the combine. It's 12 or 13. So that's all I'm doing. I'm hanging my hat on the beliefs of Aaron Roderick. Number two, what I'm doing is saying, okay. So maybe the quarterback situation doesn't change and maybe it doesn't dramatically improve. But how much can the offensive line position improve under TJ Woods? Because that's the real question. You cannot have your offensive line underachieve like it did wildly last year.
Yes, 100%.
So I've had a couple of conversations with a couple of those offensive linemen, and things are different. I don't need to get into the specifics of it, Scotty, but everything is different, which is understandable. When you bring in a new assistant and you're trying to resurrect a skills group or a position group, you expect that coach to just shake it up. TJ Woods has shook it up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's shook it up.
Yep, and we knew that. I knew that was going to happen.
The hairs, the feathers on these offensive linemen, they're ruffled. They're ruffled. And we'll see. Going into fall camp, we'll see how they digest what they just got in spring ball and how they then mentally prepare themselves for fall camp, because TJ Woods' expectations are much different than Coach Funk's expectations as an offensive lineman.
Correct.
So if the offensive line could get better, well, then Retzlaff gets better. If Retzlaff gets better, then the wide receivers get better. If Retzlaff and the wide receivers and O-line gets better, well, then LJ Martin gets better. So you see the growth and progression.
Yeah.
But that's probably what it's going to be. It's probably going to be Jake Retzlaff, and you're hoping for an improved offensive line. The thing that I am anxiously awaiting is you got five guys that are coaching this defensive line.
Yeah.
Gary Anderson.
Yeah.
Chad Kawaha. Kelly Popinga. Sione Pua. So you have four. Am I missing somebody?
No, I think that's, you're right, four.
So you got four guys.
Yeah. With a lot of experience as players and coaches.
If you took all of the guys that these guys, not only did they have an NFL experience, but the guys that they've coached and put in the NFL, if you took them all, you'd be like, this is the ideal group. If any one of those, if I was there playing D-tackle right now, and any one of those four, knowing what I know about all four of them, said to me, Hance, this is how you're going to do it, I'd do it immediately. Hance, this is what you need to do. I'd do it immediately because I know they know. So the staff is locked and loaded. I've got full belief. Now it's who's going to stink and rise up and be the guy? Is it Isaiah Banya? Because he didn't show signs of it last year.
No.
When you're playing that hybrid edge and you're coming off the edge and you're a two-point, you've got to have more than one sack in a season. Or half sack or one sack. So I'm looking at guys like Ice Moa. I'm looking at Ice Moa and I'm saying, all right, man, I want to see this guy develop. I want to see him slide into that starting role. I want to see him have an absolute beastly season and potentially beat Isaiah Banya out of that position. Because Tyler Batty, he's got the other one locked down. And then I'll go to Tyler Batty directly. With Tyler Batty, because I am a big Tyler Batty fan.
Yeah.
Like, I've got a lot of belief in him. But with Tyler Batty, I'm asking him to stay lean, stay light, stay fast. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to unlock him. And I'm going to say, all right, this year, because we got the big spotlight on us and we got to get sacks this year, we want you at 8+ sacks. And this is how we're going to do it. And what do you have, 5.5 last year?
Yeah.
This is how we're going to do it. This is what we're going to do to get you sacks. We're going to let you pin your ears back quite a bit more. And we're going to cover ground with, you know, whatever. If we're rotating our D tackles out, or we're asking Harrison Taggart or Ben Bywater or Isaiah Glasker or Ace Kafusi or whoever I'm doing, whatever I'm using at the linebackers, we are going to have you covered. We're going to have you rushing. And we want you to get after the quarterback.
Yeah. By the way, only two sacks the final 8 games.
Two sacks in the last eight?
Seven games.
Seven games, yeah.
He had one against Iowa State and one against Oklahoma State.
Well, listen, I'm not a paid endorser of Tyler Batty, so I'm not going to sit here and make any excuses at all for him. That kid puts a lot of the weight on his own shoulders, and he knows what he's got to go do. It's his final year.
Yeah.
He knows what he's got to go do. He came back for a reason, and I think that reason is he believes in his coaches, and he believes in what Jay Hill's doing, and he believes that this team can do better and that he can do better. So, all right, man, it's all on your plate. You want to go to the next level? You got to go get yourself eight sacks, and you got to grab some attention.
And that's bare minimum, right?
That's bare minimum.
To even get a sniff.
It's bare minimum. And then the other guy that I really like is Blake Mangelson, but Blake Mangelson is not a traditional rusher. You know, the interior worries me. You got Big John Nelson on the interior, and then it's a lot of unproven and a lot of unknown. And now you're asking guys that you don't know a lot about and shorter guys. They aren't real big guys. You know, this the recruiting philosophies of the interior line at BYU has been, it's been interesting. So they've got a group of guys in there, and it's like, man, all right, got to get those edge pressures. You got to be able to force the quarterback out of the pocket. You got to pressure him, get your hand and bat up a couple balls, which John Nelson could do. John Nelson's good at that. Everybody else has got a lot to prove. But then you've got these, you know, new guys, these unproven guys that are coming in as rookies, like Ephraim Asiata, that they've got a lot of faith in. But Ephraim Asiata is, he's probably closer to 200 pounds than he is 215.
Yeah, that's a lot to ask a guy.
Yeah.
Coming into that situation, like, okay, we got to get a pass rush out of you. Okay, well, dude was, you know, at homecoming less than a year ago.
He was at homecoming less than a year ago. And,
yeah,
you know, Ephraim Asiata went through trauma that most bodies would not have made it through.
Yeah. So
I can't remember what the percentage was, but I don't know how everybody else sees it. When I see him, I look at him as a miracle.
Yeah.
Because he was not supposed to live through what he lived through.
So the coaching's there. It's just a matter of whether or not the talent's there or the ability's there.
Do you agree with me on the coaching?
I agree with you. I agree with you on the quarterback slide of it. I agree with you on the defensive line on it. I do think coaching is also responsible for recruiting, too. So, you know, you got to get the dogs in there to be able to do it. And I just... it just seems like it's rinse and repeat every year, though. We're talking about BYU over the last 5 or 6 years.
With the D-line.
With the D-line. Like, yeah. Where are you getting your sacks from? Where are you getting your sacks from?
They don't come.
I mean, if you go back and look at sack totals at BYU. So last year, Tyler Batty leads away with 5.5. Year before that, John Nelson with 3. Year before that, yes. Tyler Batty with 3.5. Year before that, Isaiah Kafusi with 4. We've yet to hit a guy that's got... well, I guess 5.5. We've got yet to hear a guy with 6 sacks. You know, you go back to 2019, there was a bunch of dudes that had
2.
Yeah. And then you go to 2018. There you go. Corbin Kafusi with 8.5.
Yeah. You got to go all the way back to Bronson Kafusi to find 10.
Yep. Bronson Kafusi in 2015 with 10.5 sacks.
So last time you hit double digits.
Yep. And you're not even asking Batty to get to 10. You're just asking him to get to 8.
I want 8, but 8's the minimum. He knows it, and I feel comfortable that he knows it. And I got to tell people, Tyler Batty is that dude. I would play right next to him. And if Tyler said, hey, man, we're going to run this trout, and I need everything that you've got on this twist, this stunt, I'd look him in the eye and be like, I've got you. I got your back. I'm going to do whatever you want, whatever you need, because he's that kind of dude. He's a great dude, great teammate. So I believe in him, but he's got to take a gigantic leap. 5.5 isn't going to do it. If he wants to get drafted, which is the reason he's coming back, if he wants to get drafted, it's a start at eight and show that you're a true pass rush threat off the edge. You know, and then you go to some of the other guys and you're thinking, all right, so could Ephraim Asiata be a pass rush threat? Okay, but then does he turn into a Pita Tamapinu when Pita was young? And you remember Pita was just a third down rotational pass rush artist. And I'm not a big fan of third down rotational pass rush artists. I think it takes ends that have been setting up their rush all game. It takes them out of that opportunity to uncork the rush that gets to the quarterback. So it's like having a three-man running back rotation. I've got a running back that's set it up all game. He's juked inside, gone outside. Juked inside, gone outside. All of a sudden, he's got that outside linebacker leaning because he's juking inside and going outside, but he jukes and comes downhill for 6 yards. Like, you got to let these guys ride the lightning a little bit. And so I'm not a big fan of third down pass rush specialists. And the rotations were too many last year at defensive line. Find me four guys. Find me five guys, six guys max, and let me go play with those guys.
Is that hard as a player getting into a groove in the course of a game when you're getting subbed in and out?
Very.
And because you always hear like, well, we're keeping them fresh out there.
No, it's very. I don't like it.
Yeah, but you'd prefer as a player, just let me go.
We had a system set up. There was three D tackles my senior year, and we had a system set up where in the course of a half, we rotated out one time. And so we could get a little bit of a breather, but even then, we're taking 68 snaps. 68 snaps is very doable.
Yeah.
And I try to encapsulate that for, like, even my son. I'm like, you understand, in the length of a game, this is what you've got to be ready for. Now, you can be ready for more. That's great. Just don't be ready for less. Get yourself to that point. So I would say my biggest hesitation right now is to be comfortable with the defensive line, even more than the quarterback situation. I've got hopes. Man, I've got huge hopes for Ice Mulla because he's such a beautiful talent. But for one reason or the other, something has held him back.
Yeah.
And I am not going to take the coaching excuse across that defensive front. How can I? Now, to your point,
there's too much experience there.
It is on them to find the bodies. And now Jay Hill's coming into his second season where now he's worked the high school scene. Look, Jay Hill went all in on Ephraim Asiata. That's a Jay Hill recruiting get. They put the full court press on him.
Yeah, that was their big target.
I watched because the Asiata kid played against my son in a Friday night game last year, and I watched that whole BYU staff. They were there, like on the sidelines, looming, hovering, recruiting their butts off trying to land Ephraim Asiata. They went all in on him. They believe he is the change. So if you believe he's the change, nowadays sometimes you kind of got to put it in that young freshman lap that was at the prom last year and say, "All right, go get it, dude. Can you go get it? Yeah, I feel good about it." Or yeah, there's signs he's too small, or he's not to the college level of aggression yet, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That slows him up.
125, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Coming up next, a blow to a team in the state of Utah in the transfer portal. We'll tell you about that coming up next. Also, the good, the bad, the ugly. It's all straight ahead right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
Can we just wait on the transfer portal till the end of the college basketball season?
That's the boot.
Can we start
Absolutely not.
On April 15th, once the season is over?
How are these players expected to go on? If they're forced for an extra minute.
Can we have some logic of not opening the transfer portal in the middle of the season?
Absolutely not.
In the middle of the most important stretch of basketball?
Not a chance.
Please.
Ben, why do you hate players? This is what people have been saying to me for years. Why do you hate players? He's an American. American who can go wherever he wants.
Absolutely, you can. When the transfer portal opens, guess what the NCAA controls? The transfer portal and the dates.
Stop
hating. So just control it. This is another area where the NCAA tournament has had opportunities to put on some red tape, some guidelines to make this thing make a little bit of sense.
This is America. No one can control me. You can control. Look at that. Look at the language you use.
Here, Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Are you ready to start your journey as a small business owner? Ready to start something bold? Something groundbreaking? Utah is the startup capital of the world, and we're setting a new global standard for innovation and entrepreneurship. So if you're thinking about starting a new business or looking to grow an existing business, this is where you'll find the resources to make it happen. Visit startup.utah.gov today and start something here.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Good, the bad, the ugly, brought to you by RGS Exteriors and Construction Obsessed with quality results. All right, well, last night, during a timeout in the second half, a contestant was brought out for the Threes for the Keys game.
Most exciting moment of the game.
Yes, it's pretty simple. All you have to do is make three-pointers, one from each of the three spots designated on the court in 30 seconds, and you win a car from Ken Garf. Well, this guy did it. Knocked down the three threes. Unfortunately, though, on the third one, the official ruling immediately was he didn't get it off in time.
So dirty. It was dirty. That ball was through the rim. Now, let alone if the buzzer had to, if he just had to have the ball out of his hand, that ball was through the rim.
Yeah.
When that buzzer went off. And the nerve of the in-arena guy to come up to him. If I'm the in-arena guy and they're like in my earpiece and they're like, no, Ken Garf says no. Ken Garf says no. I'm like, no, that's not what we're doing.
At least do it afterwards. Be like, all right, that's awesome. And then you bring him afterwards. Like, hey, buddy, you didn't get it off in time.
Did you hear the boos?
Yeah.
Oh, that in-arena guy had to be feeling sick because it's like, sorry. Official ruling.
The dudes over there celebrating with Ryan Smith for crying out loud. Both of them are jumping up and down like they're crazy. That was Ryan out there with him, wasn't it? When he hit the third one?
When
I saw the video, I thought it looked like it was Ryan. Maybe I'm mistaken on that, but the guy comes out and starts jumping up and down with him, and it looked like I thought it was Ryan.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing him out there, but the boos were crazy. But they review it, they get it right, and they come back, and the announcer starts hitting him and jumping and shoulder bumping and hitting him again and says, "Yeah, we got ourselves a winner. You get the car." And then they gave him it's a 2008 hatchback with a 220,000 miles. No, I'm just kidding.
Stop it.
Well, yeah, okay, so
it's a rabbit.
Being behind the scenes on stuff like this, it is you're in a precarious situation because I guarantee, like, this isn't coming out of Ken Garf's pocket. They sign these insurance policies, and these insurance companies are going to look at every little element of this.
Did he step
like on
the
half
line?
Court shots, did he step on the line, all this stuff, because they don't want to pay it out. And so all of a sudden you're realizing, okay, well, the insurance company is going to come in and just obliterate us on this thing if we give them this car. So here we go.
But at least I could tell him in private, you didn't win.
Yeah, but don't do it in front of 17,000 people.
No, and the ball was gone. It was out of his hands.
Yeah.
You had to make a three from each one of the three spots that was designated on the court in a 30-second period. And he did it.
Yeah.
And the ball was gone. It was out of his hand. It was well before that. It was out of his hand.
Yeah.
And they tried to tell him, no.
No.
Oh, Jazz fans are the best. I'll tell you what, I'm not enjoying the Jazz right now, but, man, I'm enjoying the Jazz fans because they don't give a rip.
They're salty. They're a salty bunch.
They don't give a rip, man. They're out there watching terrible basketball, and they're like, for just a second, we get to have respite from our pain and watch this.
One of us
win this car. And they ripped the car from his grasp.
Yeah.
It was anarchy.
No. All right, there's your good. But the man does have his vehicle.
Yeah, he did. They corrected it. They got it right.
All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Good, the bad, the ugly. Continuing on right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. And I'll tell you what, Hans, this was a rough one. As Kyle Whittingham was asked about injuries yesterday after practice, and he said, we've had some guys that have missed some chunks of practice here and there and a couple surgeries. Nothing serious that we feel like is going to impact the fall, with one exception. Lavonnie DeMooney had a lower leg injury. That is going to be impactful.
The one I didn't want to hear.
Yeah.
He led the team in tackles last year. And remember, he had to come in and save the day last year because Barton went down. And Lavonnie came in and racked up
87 tackles. Two and a half tackles for, or two and a half TFLs, too.
He came in and racked up 87 tackles.
It's a hell of a stopgap.
Oh, bro. That was such a great transfer portal pickup. And those DeMoonies are so solid, man.
Yeah.
Except for Jack. Jack, you can't, he's unpredictable. But Wonga, oh, man.
Wonga's the best dude on the planet.
Yeah, he is. And these DeMoonies can play that game.
Oh, man.
It's in their blood. They see it. They sense it. They feel it. And Lavonnie was a great. All right, so now what happens? Well, things are going to be okay. Things are going to be okay. As long as Lander Barton stays healthy, things are going to be okay. Because you've got Cranny Reed, who's back. You've got Lander Barton, who's back. You got Sione Fotu, who showed great signs. And you've got Logan Fano. Now, I know that Logan Fano doesn't play the traditional linebacker position.
Yeah.
They kind of list him as that end position. But Logan Fano is very dynamic in what he can do and the roles that he can. Logan Fano will have linebacker equivalent tackles.
Yeah.
If he stays healthy all year.
Yep.
Because of how he can patrol. So you're okay, but what this has done is this took your margin and it just clamped it down. So you had this beautiful margin with Lander Barton and Cranny Reed and Lavonnie DeMooney and Logan Fano and Fotu, and it's just like, this is what happened to Utah last year. So get your voodoo dolls out, pull the pins out of them, place them in a bubble wrap, and make sure nothing else happens to this team.
I know, right?
Because this team is beautiful, guys. It's complete. But you can't be losing guys like Lavonnie DeMooney. No more.
It's got to get right. It's got to get better. And I don't know. I know Kyle did a long, deep dive into why that happened last year. And you need to do a self-scout and evaluation, not just on your players, but how you do things. And look, there's some years where you're just going to have weird injuries that they're just going to pile up. But then you also have to look at it, okay, how are we training? You know, what are we putting these kids through? Are we doing things that are leaving these kids open to this? And I'm not saying they are, but I'm just saying, knowing Kyle the way he is, that I'm sure that they are looking at every part of their program and realizing, okay, sometimes weird things happen and we can just strike it up for that. Or are we doing the best that we can to make sure that we're preventing this from happening again? I'm not talking about Lavani specifically, but I'm talking about like the collection of injuries that they had last year. Cause it was horrific.
It was horrific. And I wanted to stop right now.
Yeah.
Because I just don't. And they've run every study they can. They take every possible measure that they can without interrupting their ability to make a live tackle.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're going to have to do that. So you got to be prepared to do that. But, you know, I'm out there at spring ball. I see them all with their concussion caps on, and old linemen have all their braces on, and, you know, they're keeping Lander Barton from certain types of contact, and they're taking every measure. But then you get these weird, stupid things that completely derailed a team that had high hopes last year. And this is a team that, you know, I've got gigantic hopes for the University of Utah.
Yeah.
And the returning talent from their O-line right on across. I think their O-line situation is going to be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if we see Isaiah Garcia, a true freshman, start. Because you did okay when you started a true freshman last year. And you got to find a consistent tackle. And I do wonder if Isaiah Garcia is going to start opposite of Spencer Fano. But you know who I really like is that Kali Nuu.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
The center.
Yeah.
I actually thought he did pretty good. He was unheralded, didn't get talked about a lot, but last year he snuck into that center position and was very fundamental. So I like what they're doing there. There is a lot of talent that will be on the 60 and 60.
Yeah, yeah. Good luck. Good luck, you and Lloyd, putting that thing together. All right.
And wide receivers, too.
Oh, yeah. All right, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
Hans, I'm going to pivot a little bit away from, we were going to talk about the Jazz losing 10 in a row. We spent some time on that, but a little bit of breaking news in terms of Utah State. Not totally unexpected, but Great Osabor is now in the transfer portal, and Ian Martinez is now in the transfer portal for Utah State. That goes along with Mason Falslev, who last week entered into the transfer portal. So you have four out of your five starters that have now either lost their eligibility. Darius Brown has no more eligibility left. Now you have Ian Martinez, Great Osabor, and Mason Falslev in the transfer portal. Isaac Johnson did announce that he would return. So that's your fifth starter that said he would be back in an Aggie uniform next year. In talking to people close to the situation during the break and getting some text during the segment, and again, I mentioned this earlier in the show in terms of Davon Smith and the University of Utah. Now, we don't know if he's in the portal or not, or if he's going to be. There was some smoke that he might be, but certainly nothing official has come out on him. But just because somebody's in the portal doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to leave. And I think that there's some people running the collective at Utah State that believes that they are offering some significant financial resources towards those players to entice them to stay, and that the door is not shut. Now, you can go glass half full and say that's the case, or you can go glass half empty and say maybe they're just telling you what you want to hear so that, you know, it's not an uncomfortable conversation. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to date other people for a little bit, but I'm going to come back and we'll get married and everything's going to be fine. So take it for what it's worth.
Well,
there's still optimism, and there's a lot of guys out there that do go in the portal, that do decide to come back, but certainly a couple of big blows if those guys do get the portal and do end up going to other venues.
So I'll just set up the problem with this. So that would be like Lloyd entering the transfer portal early.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I think I'm going to jump the transfer
portal. Yes, there's a domino effect.
I jump in.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. When you get into the transfer portal, that takes the money out of me and Lloyd's pocket because they're like, well, we got to secure Mr. Gerard. Like that, we got to get him. Okay, what do we got to do? E. Martinez, you're replaceable.
Yeah.
Mason Falslev, to a large degree, you're replaceable. Great Osborne, not replaceable. So I'm okay. Like Ian and Martinez, Mason Falslev, those guys, okay, well, we could find pieces that are comparable. But Great Osborne, no. Nope. Take all your money, all your resources. And if you got to tell Ian, hey, good luck, man. We don't have the money to bring you back. Hey, Mason, good luck. Dang it. We'd love to have you. But we're going to make sure that there's one guy that absolutely comes out of that portal and stays on that roster. So I direct all my attention, all my time and attention to the primary, the most important, and that's great. Now, if Great Osborne's in the transfer portal, it's like, I'm not coming back if you don't bring them back, then I'm in a cot. I'm in a little bit of a catch. I'm a rock and hard place.
Yeah.
But I think all three of us know how they would negotiate it, and it's great. What's it going to take? $1.2 million. Come back. Ring, ring. Mason, sorry. We just paid it all to Great.
Yeah.
Sorry. We'd love to. If you want to come back, I mean, we do have a pool. We can put some money in your pocket, but we can't get you into the big numbers.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see Utah State have to replace Falslev and Martinez. Don't get me wrong, because it's great talent. And the three of those guys together, a lot of fun.
It would be, and that's the thing, you know, when we were up there yesterday, that team is so close to being a Sweet 16 team. I really believe that. Like, they're really close. If everybody comes back and they just need to add a little bit of shooting, another wing, and they're right there. They are right there. Now, granted, you know, you got Ladie leaving San Diego State. The conference is there for the taking again, because I think San Diego State will take a little bit of a step back. And New Mexico will take a little bit of a step back. They won the conference tournament. And I think that the conference overall will not be as strong as it was last year. And so you bring back those guys, you know, you'll be the odds-on favorite to win it again. And you have a chance to get a great seed in the tournament.
The other thing about just my angle of how I'd attack those guys, if I can call Ian Martinez and say, hey, Ian, we just locked up Great Osborne. He's coming back.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you have for me? Well, we have Great Osborne. We got the best player in the conference coming back, and you get to play with him. Okay, but what do you got for me? So that will improve every aspect of your game, and here's $1,000.
Yeah.
But if I can call those guys and tell them that the best player in the conference is coming back, but the problem is now that he's jumped in and Martinez has jumped in, now you got guys that are looking around. There are certain dudes that are bought in, but everybody's trying to figure out exactly what Coach Calhoun's about.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, he's out there, he's talking big. That's great. It's exciting. He's talking big. But can we buy in?
Yeah.
Can he really make us a Sweet 16?
Well, and then then you have the Danny Sprinkle factor where he's up in Washington, and that dude is sitting on a treasure chest of money in NIL money.
Well, that's what I hate the most.
And so
that's what I hate the most.
There's a guy that he played with at Montana State, followed him to Logan, and it would make sense that he would follow him to Washington. But that's a long rebuild there. You're not – if you want to go to the NCAA tournament and you want to get your name out there, I don't think you do that year one with Sprinkle in the Big Ten.
Do you do it year one with Sprinkle in the Big Ten with Osborne, Martinez, and
Mason Falslev? I don't think so. Not in the Big Ten. You can get away with that in the Mountain West. I don't think you get away with that in the Big Ten. That's just my opinion, but. Hands and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, 149. Coming up next, another edition of Whole World News right here on The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Jared Calhoun, Utah State men's basketball coach.
I was pretty direct for my next move. Obviously wanted to go somewhere with just a great fan base. We have a fun style. We average 83, 84 points a game. Kids are going to want to play for us. I had watched Utah State pretty much all year long. Danny and his staff did a tremendous job evaluating not only talent, but the right people. So we'll try to retain these guys. We're going to get a few guys out of the portal. I imagine some guys are going to go in. It's just an ever-changing game. Our vision and our goal should be to win a national championship. If we keep our current roster and add a few guys, we certainly can do that. That's our goal, and we're fired up to try to get really good players here over the next 2 to 3 weeks, but we're excited about this opportunity.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go! It's time to span the globe for the hard-hitting news you care about. Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting. This is Whole World News on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
On a summer night, running all the red lights. We parked way out in a clearing in a grove, and the night was as
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone. You hear a little Tim McGraw. That's because we are giving away Tim McGraw tickets right now. Call number 12, 801-575-ZONE. It's 801-575-ZONE. You win a pair of tickets to see Tim McGraw at Delta Center coming up next week, April 5th. Actually, no, that's not next week. That's Friday. That's 2 days from now. It's 48 hours from now.
Yeah. Such a big...
I have a hard time believing it's actually April. It's
such a crazy big ticket, man. It's a good ticket.
It's a real good ticket. Let's go.
Faith Hill's not with him.
Still a good ticket.
At the concert.
I don't know. Maybe she might make a
she does,
cameo.
From time to time, she does pop in. But I the last time I went to see Tim, it was Tim and Faith together.
First concert me and Mama went to 25 years ago.
Tim McGraw?
No kidding, really?
Yeah. Where?
At Delta Center.
25?
Well, it wasn't 25. It was a long time ago, but
Guys had been dating for 14 years at that point. You'd later go on to date for 36 before being
36 there. More.
That's awesome. Yeah, we're going to be there.
All right.
Are you going?
We're going.
Oh, are you?
Good
nice.
For you, man. Yep.
Good for you. All right. Whole world news right here on 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone. Let's go to Nashville, Tennessee, Hans. A man is facing more than a dozen charges after being accused of randomly firing several shots in the streets of downtown Nashville and also assaulting officers. According to an arrest report, officers with the Metro Nashville Police Department responded to shots fired before 6 a.m. right there at the intersection of Commerce Street and Representative John Lewis Street on April 1st. The police show up and they see 26-year-old Craig Jose Miller and another individual. They're sitting on a corner of the intersection. So they go up and they're like, hey, we saw reports of shots fired. Do you know anything about it? And was it you? And the duo said, no, we didn't see anything. We don't know what you're talking about. Well, a delivery driver comes by and goes, yeah, no, it was that guy. That guy did it. So they go back to the guy and they're like, are you sure? He's like, no, I would never do such a thing. Well, they go to they keep looking. They find the gun in the intersection.
Idiot.
The dude had left his gun. And so they go back to him and said, hey, look, we found the gun. We know it's you. We have eyewitnesses. And he says, well, it was me. I didn't fire at anybody. I just squoze off 8 rounds right there in the intersection. And they're like, well, why did you do this? And he said, well,
this is in Nashville, Tennessee.
Downtown.
There's a lot of people in Nashville.
Downtown Nashville, Tennessee. And he said, well, his divorce had just gone through with his wife, and he fired 8 rounds as a celebration for regaining his freedom and his happiness of finally getting a divorce from his wife. Now, look, I don't think divorce is anything to be celebrated. I certainly don't think that you should be, you know, taking your Glock and firing rounds off in a downtown area, let alone anywhere. But apparently he was inebriated so much so that they're like, all right, well, we got to take you in. He's like, no, I was just celebrating. I wasn't going after anybody. And then, so as they cuff him, he is inebriated. They put him in the car. He kicks wildly, kicks 2 officers, 1 squarely in the stomach, and then yells out, I'm going to kill all of you, regardless if I'm in handcuffs or not.
Hold on, back up. Tell me what he did there.
So they take him into custody after he admits that it was him. And really, honestly, I mean, you're going to get a little bit of jail time for this.
So he was squeezing off rounds because of celebration of a divorce.
Yep. So
do you think he's in Tombstone, Arizona? What?
So they take him, they throw him in the back of the squad car, and then he freaks out. And then he starts kicks at 2 officers, 1 square in the stomach, and then threatens to kill all of them.
Well, that's going to get you hogtied.
I mean, look, squeezing off rounds in downtown, that's going to get you a little bit of trouble. But you can make it through that. Nobody got hurt, bad deal, but it's not great. But you'll be okay. You start assaulting police officers and threatening to kill them, then you get yourself in a whole lot of trouble.
Do you want to know how many stray bullet deaths there are in the United States every year?
A lot more than you'd think.
65.
Really?
There's 317, on average, 317 stray bullet impacts, of which 65 of those die every year in the United States of America.
Wow.
So you go fire off 8 rounds in a very populated area. Now, it's not statistically, you're probably more likely to get hit by lightning. It feels like that's about the same odds. 317 people get struck by a stray bullet. So same odds to be drafted in the NFL.
Uh-huh.
Like it's right around that range. But 65 people take a stray bullet and it puts them down. These people that shoot bullets up in the air, man, they're just not smart.
Nope.
But jacking up the back seat, that'll get a spit cap put on you, and that'll get you hogtied. Put the hands behind the back and tie the feet up and tie your feet to the back of the hands, and you deserve it.
Yeah, officers aren't going to like that at all. All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone. Nice of Mahi will join us coming up next. Talk about what it was like at the Big 12 media or Big 12 Pro Day. Get some thoughts from him straight ahead, 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone.
Are you ready to start your journey as a small business owner? Ready to start something bold? Something groundbreaking? Utah is the startup capital of the world, and we're setting a new global standard for innovation and entrepreneurship. So if you're thinking about starting a new business or looking to grow an existing business, this is where you'll find the resources to make it happen. Visit startup.utah.gov today and start something here.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.